Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 280, titled A Nation of Sheep Will Beget a Government of Wolves, subtitled The Destabilization of California, the Energy Crisis, and the George W. Bush Administration. What we're going to be taking a look at is, yes, folks, a conspiracy theory about the, quote, energy crisis, unquote, currently afflicting California. I see in this, and so actually do some others, a reflection of what I discussed in For the Record program number 214, and that was titled Trouble on Oiled Waters, Part 2. That was a deliberate manipulation of the petroleum market in 1979 to destabilize Jimmy Carter, and also a similar manipulation that I believe took place in 2000, in order to destabilize Al Gore through association. We're going to take a look now at a couple of press reports that should be kept in mind as you listen to a long, very well-written and thought-out and very eloquent paper that I will annotate for you in a minute. First of all, the San Jose Mercury News of Saturday, January 20th of the year 2001 had an article by Jim Puzangera, P-U-Z-Z-A-N-G-H-E-R-A. This is Dateline Washington and headlined, Bush Advisor's Role in Deciding Crisis. Question that reads in part as follows. One of the top energy advisors to President-elect George W. Bush, who today becomes responsible for crucial decisions in how the federal government will deal with California's energy crisis, has a vested interest in how that crisis is resolved. Ken Lay, L-A-Y, chairman and outgoing CEO of Enron, one of the nation's biggest power marketers, has a long and close relationship with Bush. One of his largest political contributors, he helped raise more than $100,000 for Bush's presidential campaign. Those roles raise serious conflict of interest questions, according to public watchdog groups. Yes, indeed, they do. And consider the following, and consider that article, and consider the following in connection with the long article that will comprise the bulk of this particular program. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle of Tuesday, January 23rd of the year 2001. This is an article by David Lazarus of the San Francisco Chronicle. It's titled, Enron Reports 34% Increase in Its Profits, subtitled State's Energy Crisis, a Boon for Houston-Based Supplier. This reads in part as follows. As California's utilities drew closer to financial ruin, Houston energy giant Enron Corporation was whistling all the way to the bank yesterday after reporting a 34% increase in quarterly profit. Enron is one of the state's leading buyers and sellers of electricity and natural gas, although it does not own any power plants in California. Interesting. Enron reports a 34% increase in profits, and outgoing CEO Ken Lay is a close friend and energy advisor and contributor to George Bush. Consider also the following. This from the San Francisco Chronicle of Friday, February 23rd of the year 2001, and on the business section we read, this is an article by Kathleen Pender entitled, it's in her net worth column, it's titled, Fuel Costs Bay Area Inflation Further Above, Fuel Costs Heat Bay Area Inflation Further Above U.S. Average, subtitled, Natural gas prices up 153% in region, 59% nationwide. Interesting. This reads in part as follows. Inflation in the Bay Area has been higher than the national average for about 4 years, but in January the gap may have widened even further, led by skyrocketing prices for energy, especially natural gas. On Wednesday, the Bureau of Labor Statistics released the National Consumer Price Index for January, which showed a worrisome jump of 0.6% from December. 153% for natural gas in the region, only 59% nationwide. That is very, very interesting indeed, and those statistics are documented in that particular column. The bulk of the program is going to consist of a very well-written, thought-out, and very eloquent article titled, The Extortion of California, The Wrath of Bush and the Texas Power Cabal. This is authored by Larry Chin, last name C-H-I-N. This was researched for us by a listener. It's dated February 11th of 2001, and this can be accessed on the website www.onlinejournal.com. Online Journal is one word, O-N-L-I-N-E-J-O-U-R-N-A-L. Again, that's www.onlinejournal.com/special_report/chin021101.html. This article reads, and again it's titled The Extortion of California, The Wrath of Bush and the Texas Power Cabal. It's by Larry Chin, 2/11/2001. This reads, California teeters on the brink of darkness. The state is threatened with daily power blackouts. Natural gas may be cut off in the coming weeks. With a predicted hot and dry summer approaching, state politicians are scrambling for 11th-hour remedies. George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and the consortium of Texas power companies could not be more pleased. The state that overwhelmingly rejected Bush and the Republicans at the polls is being brought to its knees. The Democrats of California, which include many of Bush's staunchest foes, are being embarrassed and politically damaged. As Governor Gray Davis struggles with bailout plans, Bush's Texas power supplier friends and campaign contributors led by Kenneth Lay of Enron Corporation are raking in billions of dollars by selling power at inflated prices into the sputtering California power system. Enron reported a record fourth quarter profit. By the way, you've just heard that documented, 34% increase in profits. And the article continues, now, California has become its own power buyer and is in the process of signing long-term contracts locking in power prices at historic highs and fast-tracking new power plant construction. Texas suppliers will make billions more in the years ahead. Extorting California is even more fun than Florida election fraud and considerably more profitable. The next section is titled, Bush's Partners in Crime Follow the Money. Enron, TXU, Dynergy, AES, Reliant, and other oil-soaked Bush corporate surrogates are holding a gun to the head of California, whose economic and political future are at stake. Governor Davis has branded the Texas power players as pirates and plunderers, unquote. He was being kind. Two of the big Texas energy operatives, Enron's Kenneth Lay and TXU's Earl Nye, have served on the energy team of Bush's transitional administration and were major campaign contributors. Enron contributed over $555,000, the most of any Bush corporate donor. Lay, a former Pentagon operative, is a longtime friend to the Bush crime family. Enron, which has done business throughout the developing world with CIA assistance, was involved with the George H.W. Bush administration in a number of questionable Middle East business deals after the Gulf War. Lay employed two of former President George H.W. Bush's closest friends and cabinet operatives James Baker and Robert Mosbacher to hustle contracts after they left office. Of course, James Baker was instrumental in the Florida, quote, recount, unquote. Continuing, Lay's residence is a stone's throw from Bush Jr.'s Texas ranch. The two have shared many beers and Houston Astros games at Enron Field. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, Lay and Enron President Jeffrey Skilling personally donated $100,000 to Bush. Lay personally lobbied other top Enron executives to give at least $1,000 to Bush. The Bush campaign borrowed Enron's corporate jet 8 times in the year 2000. W's cozy business alliance with Lay and the Texas energy cabal is not news. While governor, Bush pushed aggressively and successfully for relaxation of environmental and consumer protection regulations. This, in turn, allowed the companies to post record profits while polluting the skies and water of Texas. Lay was rumored to be Bush's first choice to be energy secretary prior to the appointment of Spencer Abraham. Many believe Lay serves in this capacity today from behind the scenes. Although Lay has denied a quid pro quo relationship with the new administration, his denials are as believable as Jeb Bush's recusal during the Florida vote recount. When you are a friend of the Bush family, you are a friend for life. The next section is called, Call It What It Is, War. The Bushes are old hands when it comes to staging, waging, and benefiting from war. War is force designed to compel an adversary to submit to one's will. In wars of attrition, isolation, political, geographic, and economic, and the choking off of supplies, including electricity, light, gas, and heat, are standard techniques designed to inflict maximum suffering. Over an extended period, frustrated populaces, be they Iraqi, Nicaraguan, or Californian, are softened to the point where they will accept whatever ends the torture. With California, Bush and Cheney pursue a number of divide-and-smash endgames. They are attacking on three fronts. 1. Open doors to power companies to pillage California itself. By selling the severity of the crisis and the myths of the benefits of deregulation and the free market, Bush and the Texans seek to rip apart environmental laws and open up markets. 2. Use corporate media to promote, exploit, and exaggerate the power crisis to justify other parts of the Bush corporate right-wing agendas, including drilling in Alaska. Quote, it will help relieve California's supply problem, and even the tax cut plan, quote, a tax cut will help pay higher energy bills, unquote. 3. Inflict maximum political damage to Democrats and other opposition, and fuel outrage among voters. The next section is called Build Power Plants Now. In one of his first and most telling comments about the state's power problem, Bush said, quote, California must be aggressive about increasing the supply of power. We Americans cannot conserve our way to independence, unquote. By the way, this sounds very much like the use of the phony gas crisis in 1979 and 80 to destabilize Jimmy Carter, and I discussed that at considerable length in For the Record program number 214. That's available from Spitfire, and time permitting, I will give you more information about that at the end of the program. Continuing. This statement encapsulates Bush's entire energy policy, unquote. Forget conservation, forget alternative energy, and just let the boys plunder for profit. Bush and the power companies are pushing the idea that California's increased energy demand, fueled by the high-tech economy, has led to a shortage. But according to Public Citizen, the skyrocketing demand, unquote, is a sham. After analyzing hourly load data compiled by the California Independent System Operator, or CAISO, Public Citizen has concluded that power demand in California during the past 6 months has actually been lower than during the same period in 1999. The Bush junta is misrepresenting the facts, allowing the power companies to gouge consumers and speed the reopening of old power plants and the construction of new plants by suspending environmental standards. They also seek to block the ability of communities to open new plants. In other words, bring a little Texas to California. The supply side of the argument is also questionable. The problem has never been the supply of power, only the price state utilities can or cannot pay for the power coming from Texas. There is an additional suspicious element. According to Public Citizen, quote, plants servicing the state with 11,000 megawatts of capacity have been taken out of service for a variety of reasons, most undisclosed, unquote. Bush finds it, quote, interesting, unquote, that the harshest critics of a balanced, unquote, environmental policy are having rolling blackouts in their state, unquote. By balanced, he means one more accommodating to polluters. Ominously, the phrase balanced approach has been used repeatedly and robotically by incoming environmental plunderer Gail Norton, who is on record for supporting more drilling across the United States. The Build More Power Plants mantra is working. Threatened with blackouts and increasing public frustration, The governor, the state legislature, and local officials are fast-tracking power plant repair and new construction, including plants previously rejected for environmental problems. The next section's titled Deregulation, Fatten Corporate Wallets, Screw Consumers. When first approached by Gray Davis for help, Bush bluntly rejected, unquote, price caps and other short-term measures. "I'm against price controls," he told the Associated Press. Bush has robotically echoed the business strategy statements of Lay and the other Texas power wholesalers and natural gas pipeline bandits. Quote, "California got itself into this mess. It's their law that didn't allow forward contracting of gas and forced wholesalers to purchase at the spot market," unquote, Bush muttered. Again quoting, "That's fine as long as the price of gas is dropping. The failure of the energy policy has made the price of gas go up," unquote. In other words, if prices go up, California's consumers should pay up and shut up. The next section's titled, Pushing for a Drilling Frenzy Everywhere. By raising fears of a power supply problem in California, they make drilling with California and off the California coast more acceptable. A moratorium that limits drilling off the California coast is due to expire this year. The timing of the crisis is no coincidence. Bush is also using California as an excuse to sell the idea of drilling in the Alaska Wildlife Refuge and other pristine lands. And the folly of that is expressed by, among other writers, Molly Ivins, who wrote in an op-ed column that was published in the San Francisco Chronicle on Saturday, February 3rd of the year 2001. This Molly Ivins column is datelined Austin, Texas, and headlined, Bush Think is a Fuzzy Thing. And skipping down, what, you wonder, does drilling for oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge have to do with solving California's energy crisis? Absolutely nothing, so don't waste time trying to find the connection. Less than 1% of California's electricity comes from oil. By the way, I would also point out that even if they begin drilling in the Alaska Wildlife Refuge, it's not going to produce any oil for 10 years. The next section is titled, Selling the Tax Cut. And this reads, brazenly, Bush is trying to sell California on the benefits of his inherently foolish and economically crippling tax cut. In recent days, articles have abounded regarding how the tax cut would particularly help high-wage Californians. Casually, Bush has bragged, lower taxes will help offset the higher energy bills for Californians, unquote. As if energy prices should be high to begin with. As if higher energy prices in the future are a given. As if a tax cut that takes place over a 10-year period can provide one bit of immediate energy bill-paying relief, unquote. And again, the folly of that is evident by what Larry Chin has said here. The next section is titled, Smash the Democrats, and it reads, the political roots of the California crisis are Byzantine and tangled. The history of California power stretches back nearly 100 years. The cast of villains is dizzying, including the operators of the corrupt and monopolistic state utilities, Pacific Gas and Electric Company and Southern California Edison, and the corrupt state and local politicians of both parties that have colluded with the utilities for generations. What is undisputed fact is that California's flawed deregulation plan was conceived and spearheaded by former Governor Pete Wilson, a Republican, in 1996. Yet today, the state's current Democratic leaders at every level are taking 100% of the political blame. Bush and Cheney have taken every opportunity to fan public outrage. They have not lifted a finger to help except their middle finger. What better way to cripple any Democrat up for election or re-election in 2002 and 2004? For instance, Gray Davis, a darling of the DNC with future presidential aspirations, has suffered irreparable damage. And what better way to distract and neuter the likes of Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein and Maxine Waters than a rigged California disaster at a time when Californians are trying to ram through a number of extreme policies? If public frustration in California ratchets up, it will not be long before a throw-them-all-out mentality kicks in, opening up an opportunity for the Republicans to finally seize a Democratic and progressive stronghold. By the way, in the context of the destabilization of Gray Davis, again, who was seen as a possible challenger to Bush in the year 2004, the following article is also from the San Francisco Chronicle of Friday, February 23rd of the year 2001. This is an article by John Wildermuth, W-I-L-D-E-R-M-U-T-H, the Chronicle political writer. It's headlined, GOP Sees Power Crisis as Davis's Achilles Heel. And it reads in part as follows. Democratic Governor Gray Davis, politically wounded by the state's bitter power woes, has become the target of a growing pack of Republicans looking to turn him out of office. 4 months ago, Davis looked on track to get reelected by a voice vote, unquote, said Dan Schnur, a GOP strategist. Again quoting, but the energy crisis has exposed vulnerabilities that have encouraged others to look at the 2002 governor's race, unquote. The governor's backers, however, are confident California voters will recognize Davis is dealing with a problem that has been brewing for years through previous Republican administrations. Again, quoting, if the Republicans want to have a full-out firefight over who brought this energy crisis down, we're ready for it, unquote, said Gary South, the governor's top political advisor. It's a fight they can't win, unquote. With the primary election still more than a year away, no one but Davis is a sure bet to leap into the contest, but at least three names will be circulating when California Republicans meet in Sacramento this weekend for their state convention. Secretary of State Bill Jones, Los Angeles investor Bill Simon Jr., and actor Arnold Schwarzenegger all have made noises about challenging Davis, but so far, their incipient campaigns have been more talk than action. Well, that's generally true of Arnold Schwarzenegger, his billing as an action hero notwithstanding. I would note that Bill Simon Jr. is the son of William Simon, Richard Nixon's Secretary of the Treasury, and also a Knight of Malta. I would also note, speaking of sons of expletive deleteds, Arnold Schwarzenegger's father was an Austrian Nazi. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not one or both winds up attempting to challenge Gray Davis in the year 2002. It certainly would be interesting if one of the offshoots of this energy crisis would be that we get Arnold Schwarzenegger as a governor here in California. We may all find, if this persists, we may all find ourselves being extras in Terminator 3, so to speak. Turning to the last section of Larry Chin's article, this section is titled Tyranny with a Smirk. California's crisis, unquote, is providing an alarming showcase of what nightmares occur when corporations and corrupt politicians have the absolute power to play games with basic necessities. It is a spectacular example of Bush tyranny. An illegitimately installed and ruthless president is exploiting the miseries of common citizens to benefit wealthy corporations run by cronies and fellow political operatives. Going forward, there is no end to the convenient uses that a battered and helpless California offers Bush and the Texans. As the administration postures for new military forays in the Gulf, pumping up the threats posed by Saddam Hussein and Middle East terrorists, it is certain that the administration will point to the California supply problem, unquote, as a national problem that could justify military action. Lay and Enron have been aggressive in pushing for deregulation in other states, using California as an example of how, quote, partial, unquote, deregulation, price controls, should be avoided. Upon discovering a CIA corporate conspiracy in the 1970s film 3 Days of the Condor, Robert Redford's character whispers in shock and disgust, quote, oil. This whole damn thing is about oil, unquote. Yes, the whole damn thing is indeed about oil, and electricity, and money, and it's no movie. And that article, again, is titled, The Extortion of California, The Wrath of Bush and the Texas Power Cabal. It's authored by Larry Chin, again, last name C-H-I-N, and it can be accessed at www.online.com/special_report/chin02101/chin02101.html. This is dated February 11th of the year 2001, and research credit on that goes to a member of the listening audience. I would also note that California's energy crisis is not just California's, because California is on the same energy grid as a number of other states. This particular story affects far more than just California. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle of Saturday, February 3rd of the year 2001. It's by John Wildermuth. It's Dateline Portland, Oregon, and headline, U.S. refuses to put cap on energy crisis. And this energy crisis, subtitled Western States Rebuffed in Plea for Quick Relief. And this reads in part as follows. We need immediate relief, skipping down. We need immediate relief, said Washington Governor Gary Locke, a Democrat. Again, quoting, the prices we're seeing now are completely unjustified. I'm very disappointed by the Secretary's statement that the administration does not support even temporary quick price caps, Locke added. They're really leaving all of the people of the Western United States out in the cold and on their own for many years, unquote. Davis said he had had spirited exchanges, unquote, with energy companies and asked them to reconsider the prices they were charging. Eight Western governors, four Republicans and four Democrats, control some type of controls, Gray Davis said. One of the things that I would point out here is that California is on the same grid as a number of other states, and in the winter, they buy energy from California, and in the summer, California buys energy from them. So this particular extortion, and I believe that what we're now seeing with the price of natural gas and this, quote, energy crisis, unquote, mirrors precisely what was done in 1979 and again in 2000 with regard to the petroleum prices that again discussed in For the Record program number 214. The various tapes that I've done over the years are all available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. That's one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E. They're located at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. You can visit the website, which has a description of all of the various programs. That is at www.spitfirelist.com. There's a detailed and annotated description of For the Record program number 280 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website. And the various For the Record segments are now in the process of being archived, or many of them have been are being archived by sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey. You can listen to these real audio archives of some of the For the Record segments on their website at wfmu.org/Dave Emory, DaveEmory. You can listen to the three-hour program that I do on my home base station, KFJC-FM, on the KFJC website at kfjc.org. Look in the Transmissions and Public Affairs section. You can email me at kfjc at demory at kfjc.org. This concludes For the Record program number 280. A nation of sheep will beget a government of wolves. That quote, by the way, from Edward R. Murrow, the famous broadcaster, subtitled Bush, the California Energy Crisis, and the Destabilization of California. And that subtitle, by the way, is I'll have to get that down for sure when I do the written description. Anyway, that concludes For the Record program number 280. This is being recorded on February 25th of the year 2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.